This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to get to visit with Holly Buckley. Holly runs the healthcare department at McGuire Woods. She also helps to run, or really helps to lead, the private equity practice. We're just coming off the McGuire Woods Healthcare Private Equity Conference. Holly, we'll talk today about yourself, about some of the trends you're watching in private equity and what you're seeing out there. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for having me, as always. Holly Buckley. I'm the chair of the healthcare group at McGuire Woods. We are one of the kind of leading healthcare and private equity firms, as well as being a full-service law firm. As Scott mentioned, we are just coming off our 18th annual Healthcare Private Equity and Finance Conference here in Chicago. Had wonderful turnout this week, which was just terrific. It seems like many people are eager and excited to start to reconnect as the current wave is waning, and just happy to be able to come out of that and join you on the podcast this week.
Thank you very much. And talk to us a little bit about, you know, what trends are you watching in the private equity world? It seems like more and more people, bigger funds, trying to put more money to work, trying to figure out the ways to hold on to investments and yet liquidate investments. I mean, it seems like just a lot going on. What are some of the trends that you're following?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've just hit on a number of kind of the more macro trends in terms of healthcare funds growing, bigger successor funds, and a lot of competition for deals. Funds, as you said, wanting to hold their investments for longer, but needing to maybe use special purpose vehicles to kind of continue them, continuation vehicles, and also wanting to continue to roll forward as they exit and other funds come in, so not fully exiting, but being able to stay on with companies that they're really excited about. But then within kind of more specific niches, I think a couple of the really exciting things are around value-based care as well as digital health. I think on the value-based care front, there's both more deals that are kind of investments in value-based care-focused companies, whether they're on the provider side, so kind of primary care, doing almost entirely value-based arrangements, or whether it's kind of the tech-enabled services supporting value-based care. Then also on the provider side, more and more of specialty providers are getting into more value-based care arrangements. And so it just is something that we've been talking about for so long. You know, 10 years ago, we were having these conversations about the move from fee-for-service to value-based care, but it's starting to feel like we're actually making more traction. And I'm not sure if some of that was somehow propelled by COVID, but we are definitely seeing more movement in this space than I think we have historically.
And it's in some ways a perfect alignment with how private equity likes to look at the world in terms of subscription models, predictable cash flows, and so forth that line up with capitated or value-based arrangements, at least true value-based arrangements. And it's fascinating to see this alignment starting to happen and people double downing on it. I mean, and how well people did with value-based care during COVID for somewhat wrong reasons, but did great with it during COVID-19. What other trends are you watching? What do you look at? Are there sectors that you're looking at or things that you're particularly watching closely?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty excited about orthopedics this year. We were sitting in the orthopedics panel, and part of the discussion was, for many years, orthopedics has been somewhat elusive in terms of being very interesting to hospitals and health systems, very interesting to private equity, but really not seeing anywhere near as much transactional volume in the space, in large part because orthopedic practices have done really, really well, and there wasn't as big of a incentive, I think, in the mind of orthopedists to transact. But I think that's changing a little in the, I think COVID pushed people to want to take money off the table, get some liquidity and shore themselves up a little bit just because the future feels more uncertain now than it was. But also I think a lot of these platforms have figured out a good value proposition in terms of how to transact with orthopedists, but also align so that there's a potential for future growth and kind of rebuilding and profitability. And so I think that they're just fun deals and fun practices to work with. They have a lot going on, and a lot of interesting challenges in the space. And so I personally really enjoy that. I think we continue to see a lot more of the same in terms of ophthalmology and dermatology and dental. They're kind of the specialties that just continue to remain somewhat fragmented, but have a lot of investor interest. But then again, we're seeing more activity around things like digital health and value-based primary care and CROs and tech-enabled services. And so there's just a lot of fun deals and investor interest right now.
But it's fascinating, a couple of the different trends you talk about. In orthopedics, it's a fascinating situation. Orthopedics traditionally continue to do so well, but what has sort of happened is this match where private equity funds have so much money to sort of steer towards them that all of a sudden you've got this meeting, this nexus of, you know, can't avoid that kind of money and more sense of, okay, this will work for me going forward as well. So you've got this alignment that's happened. The second thing that you mentioned, I heard it over and over again at the conference, was, you know, funds continuing to double down on areas they know. So if they've made an investment in an area and had success with it, continue to follow that thesis and do more in that sector. Some of these specialties, whether it's things like dental ophthalmology, dermatology, or it's things like veterinary, et cetera, the funds that have done it, deals in those sectors continue to try and double down on those sectors because they tend to know them well. I mean, it's sort of fascinating, yeah. Isn't it?
I mean, it makes a ton of sense, right? Because the more we do work in a certain area, the better we get at it. And so I think you can see that on the operations side. While these specialties have a fair amount in common and PPM is PPM, there is so much nuance within each of the subsectors that it's very intuitive that having done it once or twice, the second or third time, you're going to be so much better at it. So I heard the same thing, Scott, and it is intuitive, but it's also not something I had heard as much. And I think being away from people for a couple of years and having them come back, that's some of these things are starting to emerge.
What I also heard you say, which is fascinating, is on the technology and enabled side and technology side, very interesting gulf between the venture capital investors that are investing in early stage technology companies, the intent to blow them up into huge companies, and the private equity funds that are investing in either already developed software firms, but more often tech-enabled services, where they're providing a service to providers or platforms or multi-facility businesses and investing in something that provides a service to that, in usually a technology-enabled service, but there's so much growth there too. And a fascinating distinction between what venture capital does in the sector and private equity does in the sector, and very interesting to watch. As private equity is more and more investing in businesses that are already generating significant EBITDA, whereas the venture capital sometimes earlier stage. But fascinating to watch these distinctions too.
No, I totally agree. And I think with the funds, you often see the investments in the tech-enabled services related to some of their more provider-focused investments, because again, it's some of that knowledge in terms of how things work and what would actually be a very good value add. So in addition to kind of the looking at the company overall and saying, is it financially sound and is there good growth potential, it's being able to understand the business model and the relevance. And so I think we see a fair amount of connection between those two.
100%. Holly, I want to thank you. Always a great perspective, so tight into what's going on in the market every day. Thank you so much for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Brilliant, and thank you.
Thank you, and it was great to see you this week, and a wonderful job with your panel.
Thank you very much.